How are you guys?
Doing good? All right, you ready for this? I'm not. I did it first service, and I thought, okay, first service is going to be like the guinea pigs, you know? Like, okay, if it goes well, then it goes well, and I'll do the same thing. And then we got done, and man, in between service, I just realized, man, I do not know what I'm doing. I just don't know. But isn't that a good place to be in? You know what I mean? Amen? Even when, guitar's my best instrument, or whenever I'm playing any instrument, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't. You know, I know music theory and how to make certain things sound certain ways, but in the Bible, Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. And yeah, I can come over here and strum a chord and all these things, but without Jesus in the middle of all of that, it just really doesn't do anything. You know what I mean? We went to a concert this past Sunday, and it was amazing. It was 21 Pilots. It was so cool. But in the eternal reality of, you know, just life and Jesus and God and all these things, it wasn't, because Jesus wasn't the center of it. And without him, we can't do anything. So it was cool and it was entertaining, but without Jesus, we can do nothing. And so that being said, this whole message thing, you know, I do believe that God wanted me to do this. He gave me a dream a couple years ago. Pastor Greg introduced me and then handed me a microphone. You know, I did feel like I needed to preach just the gospel anywhere I ever needed to go. And then Pastor Greg said, hey, the Holy Spirit told me you need to preach. And I said, well, he told me I need to preach too, so let's do it. And so you would figure that, you know, God would, you know, give you this rock solid message that, yeah, everything's lining up, all of these things. And about 12 hours ago, I was about 10 minutes away from falling asleep and still didn't have a message. Justin came to my house yesterday and said, you ready, Johnny? And I looked at him, I just laughed at him. Because I didn't have anything. And he said, that's the most honest thing you've ever said to me. Pastor Greg asked me, Johnny, you ready? Do you need anything? I looked at him and I said, no. But in my mind, I said, you got a message for me? I just don't know what I'm doing. But I know that I've been praying to Jesus that that his word would come forth and that lives would truly be transformed in this place by his power, not by what I have to say. Because we can get caught up in a lot of what, you know, certain speakers and who's preaching and who's leading worship and all these things. But if Jesus isn't the center of it, then it's just, I'm basically just a motivational speaker. And I'd rather be a prophet. Amen? Come on. All right. So we're going to pray. And if you guys could just invite the Holy Spirit and invite Jesus into the room. Lord God, we thank you for who you are, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for everything that you've done in our lives, Lord Jesus. Lord God, I pray that we would just be able to just see you clearly, Lord God, that you would give us clarity of who you are, Jesus. That we would see you face to face, that there would be no mystery in our relationship with you, Lord God, but that you would truly open our eyes, Lord Jesus. Lord God, that our eyes and our hearts would be fixed on you, Jesus. Lord God, that you would move in this place, Lord. Lord God, I know you want to move. I know you want your word to come forth. I know you want miracles to happen in this room right now, in Jesus' name. I know you want people to be healed, Lord God. I know you want lives transformed, Lord Jesus. I know it, God. And we're ready for it, Jesus. We pray that you would come and that you would have your way, Holy Spirit. Do whatever you want to, Jesus. We love you. I thank you in your holy name. Amen. Hey, how blessed are we that we go to a church that Jesus goes to? Amen, right? That's so cool. What's church without Jesus? It's just kind of like a social club, you know what I mean? Come and hear Pastor Greg yell at us for 30 minutes. Sometimes we have great music. Sometimes it's, they go to the next song. And we know it, but we're going to pound on through. But without Jesus, it's just, you know, without Jesus, what's the altar call? John Caballero came up, needed some prayer. Without Jesus, it's just, sorry. Did you go to the doctor? You know, it's useless. But with Jesus, we can come up here and we can lift our hands, we can lay hands on our brothers and sisters and believe in the healing for the Lord. Right? Because Jesus, because he's here. Amen? Awesome. Okay. So, all that being said, we're going to read a couple passages of Scripture, and then we're just going to go for it. Help me, Lord. All right. Isaiah 43:18-19. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. All right? And then we're going to go on down to Ephesians 2:13-18. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. So that was Colossians 2. Sorry about that. But so before Jesus came, you know, we have all the prophets. We had Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, all these guys, Daniel, all these things. And they would prophesy about the coming one. But they had no idea who he is. They couldn't put a name to him. Like, we know him as Jesus, but they literally had to call him the coming one, the Messiah, all of these things, because they had no idea. So they're prophesying about this guy that's coming in the future to come and do these things for us, these amazing things. They're prophesying about how the Gentiles will be saved, you and me, people who weren't of Jewish blood, that they would have access to the blessings of God. Okay? So that's what Isaiah is prophesying. He says, do you not see that I'm doing something new? Okay, so he's doing something new. And then Jesus comes, and man had his opinion of what Jesus needed to be, and then God had his opinion of what Jesus needed to be. Man's opinion was the Pharisees' opinion, and it was they literally thought the coming one, because it was so vague, would be a king to come and rule and reign over Israel. They just thought it would be a man, as if we voted another president, and he was like, oh, that's the Messiah, right? But man had his opinion of what it should look like, because they just didn't know. And then Jesus comes, and they were kind of offended because this man in the flesh is saying, hey, I'm God. That's weird. That sounds like something new, right? So Jesus comes, and he does something new. And the point that I want to get across today is that when Jesus comes into our life, there needs to be something different about it. When Jesus comes into our church, there needs to be something different about our church. There's a few young adult groups throughout the city, and I know that they get together as Christians, right? They get together as Christians, have services, all these things, but then they go out and you know, they get drunk, premarital sex. Don't live for God whatsoever, but they come together and they call themselves Christians. And I'm just, it doesn't make sense to me. You know what I mean? That doesn't make sense. When Jesus shows up, something has to be different. Something's got to give when Jesus shows up. Something. And so, Jesus, I just pray that you would just speak. Lord God, we don't have you on a time watch. When Jesus shows up in this room, something has to be different. Everything bows at the name of Jesus. There's people that have sickness. There's people that have diseases. But something new, it bows to Jesus. Something is different about this. There's something different about this religion than any other religion in the world. With this religion, with Christianity, we literally have direct access
to the Father. Direct access to the Father. You don't need Pastor Greg to come up here and hear the Lord for you. You can go home, get in your prayer closet, and hear from the Lord yourself. Amen? It's not about the next big book, although I'm not against it, and I'm not against any of the things that I'm going to be naming here. It's not about the next podcast. It's not about the next worship album. It's about Jesus. And we have direct access to the Father because of Jesus. But because of these things, something has to change in our life. You heard it from Pastor Greg. I wasn't always like this. I was weird in a different way. I don't know. I was off, man. Yeah, for real. That's what I needed. But something has to be different in us. Something has to change when Jesus shows up. That's what I'm trying to get at here. 6 years ago when I didn't have the Lord, I was bipolar. I was an emotional mess. I was super self-conscious. Just didn't have very much confidence in myself. And I wouldn't be able to stand up here and preach to you like I'm preaching to you right now with the Holy Spirit inside me with who I was before. God came in my life and something changed. Something gave. I gave my life for him and he did what he wanted with it. That's all I ever know is to just give my life to Jesus and sign up for whatever he has for me. That's all I know. That's all I know, but that's all I need. I don't need 3 points in a poem to preach a message. My life preaches it because I live it. I live this every day. You wake up in the morning, you get on your bedside and you just say, God, whatever you want, whatever you want, it don't matter. It doesn't matter because Jesus is with us. But when he comes into our lives, when he comes into our churches, when he comes into our hearts, when he comes into our music, something has to change. It has to be his way or no way. In Revelations, it says, I'd rather you be hot or I'd rather you be cold. I hate lukewarm. But lukewarm doesn't even make sense. It doesn't make sense. It's kind of silly. It's like this. It's as if the gym crunch. You know, you come into the gym, you're like, all right, I'm going to lose all this fat. I'm going to get big. I'm going to get ripped. And you walk in, and the gym is handing out slices of pizza for free. You're like, get away from me, devil. But it doesn't make sense. But it's the same thing with Christianity. When you come to church and you don't take it with you, when you call yourself a Christian, but you are without Christ, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Why would you do that to yourself? Why would you come to church every Sunday faithfully and say you read your Bible and listen to worship music and turn on Way FM, all these things, but you live like Christ isn't real? You're gossiping about other people. You're getting drunk, having sex, eating like a cow. Living like Christ isn't real. Like, you're in this middle ground, but like, why would you do it? I just see it as a waste of time just on your behalf because I care about you. If you're going to do this, you might as well live it. But why would you come here and, you know, use so much of your time if you're not going to, like, take it with you? It's literally a waste of time. But that's how I always saw it. When I came to Christ, it was this. It was, okay, God showed me he's real. There was a couple of visions he showed me. I saw someone get healed, and I couldn't do it. I was like, all right, sorry. God's real. So that was out of my mind. Okay, God's real. But if God's real and everything he says is true, then that must mean the Bible's real. And if the Bible's real, then why wouldn't I give my whole life to live this? Because something has to change, right? But the only way it's going to get changed is if Jesus is incorporated into my life. Everything. Like, you may have a plan for, this was my plan for my life before God. You ready for this? All right, 18, go to Boston, Berklee College, Music degree, rock star. That's right. That's what it was. I had the long hair, screamed like Steven Tyler. Yeah! I had my own plan for my life, and it sounded really good to me. Sounded like a lot of fun. But then God encountered my life, and he called me to do this stuff. He called me to be a minister. Yeah, I don't doubt my identity or what the Lord wants to do in my life. I really don't. I was really nervous about this message because I'm like, Lord, give me something to do. Give me something to speak. But I'm not. I know he's called me to do this. But I had my own plan for my life, and I had a choice to make. I had a choice. I could either go my own way, live my own life, do what I feel like was right for me, or I could sign up for God's plan and wake up in the morning and say, all right, Jesus, you're real, your word is real, hit me with it. What do I do? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to live my life? How do you want me to live my life? There's certain things in this Bible, actually, there's certain things that aren't in this Bible that the Lord doesn't want us to do, okay? I.e., binge Netflix. I love Netflix. It's great entertainment, but that's not something that's necessarily in the Bible. But when Jesus is incorporated in my life and he says, hey, you want to hang out? You want to talk? You know, pray with me. Talk with me. Because that's what it is. Because remember, we have direct access to the Father because of what Jesus did for us. Okay? And that's the most amazing thing in the world, that we could talk to God and he talks back to us. Like, you wake up in the morning, you know you have a hard day going ahead, you know what you need to do, that job, the grind, all these things, but you wake up in the morning and you say, God, I need you. And he says, I'm here, right there. I don't need to call Tim and say, hey, is God with me? Because God tells me himself. Amen? I don't need your confirmation to tell me that I'm preaching God's word right now, because he's telling me. Amen? I don't do this to hear, hey, good job, brother, I'm so proud of you, all these things. The Lord tells me. Oh, he tells me. I was driving here, I'm so nervous. I'm walking in. He goes, oh, I'm so proud of you. And I'm like, really? Yeah, son, I'm proud of you. Oh, thanks. But that's what this is. Something changed in me. It was Jesus. But it wasn't just, okay, Jesus came to this earth and died on a cross for me. It was, I did something with it. I laid my life down and everything that I thought I had to do in my life and signed up for his plan. It's all circled around Jesus. Come on, amen. So this happens, and then something has to be different. Like, when people look at you in your workplace, they need to look at you and they need to see Jesus. You don't need to be perfect. The Lord knows I'm not one. Amen. He knows I'm not. Come on. I'm not perfect. But every morning when I wake up, what I want to do is I want to represent Jesus. I want to represent Jesus to people who don't know him. I went to a job site with construction workers, and you look at me, man, I'm not a construction worker. I'm not a hammer guy. I'm like a typing guy, you know. But I show up to this job site, and someone commented on my bumper sticker, said rage. And so I think he meant, oh, you rage? Like rager? Like, you know, you do a lot of drugs and EDM music, lights flashing. That's what, you know, a rager is. So I'm thinking he thinks it's that. And I'm like, yeah, man, that's the young adult ministry I go to. He's like, oh. But it opened. But I started talking to him about God. And then 5 minutes later, because I'm representing Jesus, I took time out of my day, out of my work schedule. When I'm showing up to a job site, I don't really even know much about construction. And like, I could be really frazzled, or I could be in the moment seeing what Jesus wanted to do. Because 5 minutes later, I'm in a circle and we're all praying to the Lord. And this, come on now, they encountered Jesus through me. But I laid my life down, I laid my time down, what I thought I needed to be doing, and signed up for what he wanted to do.
in my job on a Friday every day. There, listen, there was a guy, he had a golden grill in that circle. He had dreads. He looked at me, he said, man, I felt the anointing of the Holy Ghost just now. I'm like, amen, brother, come on. I said, but now you gotta bring it, because it's in you too. This isn't just meant for the worship leader. It's not just meant for the pastor. I'm 24, no college degree. I have some internship at the church. I have no idea what I'm doing, but the Lord has anointed me, but he's anointed all of us. Come on, man. We gotta bring it outside. But the only way that you're going to be able to bring this is if you surrender. Surrender. Give up. Give up. The Lord's going to win. He's undefeated. He's never lost. He's going to beat you too. I wish he would sometimes. Give me in a headlock. Just stop it. All right. But he won't. It's more looks like this. So God has a plan for your life. You know it. You hear him speaking to you. You don't want to admit that he's speaking to you because, oh man, God's real. That means I really have to live like he's real. So you're like running, and he's right behind you because he's not going to give up. Hey. He's right behind you saying, hey, I'm with you. I'm with you. You're like, stop it. You keep running. He's like, no, I'm still with you. Stop it. I spoke with a young man who's having like a problem with his drug, like a drug addiction, a really kind of heavy drug addiction, actually. And he said, hey, I don't know if this is God, man, but I went to go do this, like, you know, drugs. And he said, I heard a voice. He said, the voice said to me, don't do it. 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 And I'm like, bro, you heard from God. But the thing is, when that clicked in his head, oh, I heard, oh crap. Sorry. I was doing so good. And so that click of, oh, I heard from God. Oh, wait, God's with me. God's for me. God's still chasing me, even though I'm not doing the right thing, but he's with me. That makes it easier for you to surrender when you realize that God's with you. He's working through you. Amen? Okay, so we all agree that Jesus has done a great thing for us when he says we have got access directly to the Father. Amen? But there's the next part of this. There's the, oh, we have to do something with it. Come on, because something has to be different about us. Because the world's way is, oh, I have this great thing. I'm going to keep it all to myself. I'm going to tell nobody about it because they might ruin it for me. But Christianity isn't like that. There's things that we do with our Christianity that the Lord is not in. Come on. Oh, I love you. When you substitute podcasts and books and worship songs and all these things with face-to-face time with God, you're doing it wrong. Just saying. There has to be something different. But the only way that there's going to be something different about us is if we spend that time with Jesus. If we bring him into our lives and call him Lord of all, Lord of my Tuesdays, Thursdays, Lord of my opinions towards other people. Boom, right there. Hit him with it. Listen. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5, and let's go to, I think this is 20-ish, 1920-ish. All right, ready? The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this has come from God, who through Christ Jesus reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And then he entrusts us with the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin,
so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We're ambassadors for Christ. But to be an ambassador of somebody, you have to know how they think, how they feel, what they want to do in a situation. And I just want to encourage you that when you're at your job place, when you're at your workplace, Jesus loves every single person you work with. You may not, but Jesus does. And let me tell you what isn't loving them. This is not what loving them looks like. Oh, that person just needs Jesus. They just need Jesus. Yeah, you need Jesus too, man. I don't ever want to wake up in a day and think I'm better than somebody because of the grace that God has had over my life. The only reason I'm here is because of what Jesus decided to do in my life. And I thank him for it every day. It's special to me. The only reason I'm here. But it's weird. It's weird when people get spiritually prideful and say, "Ugh, I've had people." And it may be true or not, but that person has a demon in them. I'm like, dude, okay, if it's true or not, you can't love that person the way that Christ loved them if the only thing you see when you look in that person is the demon that might or might not be inside of them. You need to look at them with the eyes that God sees them with. Come on. Gail saw me before I saw myself. Gail saw me how Christ sees me before I knew it even existed. She could have looked at me and seen the craziness, the piggy fronts, the barking at people. I was weird, man, like a bad weird. The drugs, the other stuff, all these things. She could have seen all that and said, that young man has a demon in him. That young man has some forgiveness. He's just got some problems. But because Gail is surrendered to God, and she holds none of her opinions. She holds God's opinions. She saw me and said, "Oh, God, you anointed that young man. He's supposed to be a man of God. It doesn't matter that maybe his mom and dad weren't there. He's going to be a good dad because of what you're going to do in his life. There's something different." And it's not even just that Gail just has this optimistic opinion that everybody has good in them. It's, you were created in the image of Christ. You were created in the image of God. But you're not the only one. You're not the only one. The second you can look at somebody and say, Jesus did not shed his blood for that person, is the second you can say, oh, they're just not going to get it. Like, don't toss your pearls to swine. Listen, Jesus doesn't look at people like swine. I don't care what they've done. I don't care how you think about it. I don't care what they've done to you. I've had people straight up rob thousands of dollars from me. And then all of heaven stands up and says, what's he going to do? Because he's watching us. He's there. Jesus is there with us. He said, son, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to show him you. Months later, that person cleans up their life, comes back to me and says, hey, you were Jesus with skin on to me. Out of all that time, I couldn't, even though they had been living wrong, he's like, I didn't get it. You were just Jesus. But that's because I've surrendered my life to Jesus. I don't care what you've done to me. You can steal everything from me. I'm going to love you till the day I die. Come on. Because Jesus did. Because there's something different about me. There's something different about my Christianity. It's not self-serving. I've surrendered myself. I hold nothing. Nothing. There's nothing that I hold on to in this life that Jesus can't have. If Jesus wanted to treat me like Job, end up naked and homeless somewhere in here with a bunch of diseases on me, no matter what anybody would do to me, I'm going to love them until the day I die. It's what we're meant to do here. This is Christianity. It's just Christianity. Why would you want the fake thing when you can have the real thing? Alex, what good is a Christian without Christ? Let's go, man. He did a rap and that was his last line. What good is a Christian without Christ? Nothing. Because apart from Christ, we can't do anything. Amen? Are you guys getting this? I really am happy. I'm just, gosh, I get so fired up with the Lord. He's so good. Look, man. Something different. The Holy Spirit didn't dwell inside of people. We had time. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm almost done. Yeah, we're almost done. Colossians 3:16. Do you not know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? Okay? This is the only thing I'm trying to get across, is Jesus has given us access to the Father, and when he lives inside of us, something has to change. Whatever that may be for you. I don't know what that would be for you. For me, I can't listen to music that isn't worship music for too long. I get this weird, anxious feeling. I'm not in bondage, I don't think. You know, if you listen to God Gave Me You for the Ups and Downs, I don't think, oh, that sinner, you know? I went to a 21 Pilots concert, but what I'm saying is, for me in my life, I believe that the Lord wants me to live a set apart and sanctified life. I believe he wants me to have my eyes and ears fixed on him throughout the day, constantly, no matter what I'm doing. But that's for me. But what is it for you? Is it the Netflix? Do you eat a little bit too much? Here's something that isn't in the Bible. Do you smoke cigarettes? Listen, I had a dad that smoked. And if Jesus came and he said, I have come to give you life and give it to you abundantly, but my dad can't play football with me because he can't breathe, that's not life and life abundantly. It doesn't say it in the Bible, and you can say whatever you want to me. That is not life and life abundantly. Being bound to something like that. It's not life and life abundantly to have to feel this sense of peace if you get your Netflix showing. Because when life happens to you, your Netflix show isn't going to be there for you. Those guys on How I Met Your Mother don't actually care about you. They don't know you. But what it is, it's not bad, 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 don't do. It's what does Jesus want you to do? I'm not standing up here trying to put anyone in any religious bounds or anything like that, but is there something in your life that the Lord is saying, hey, you need to let go of this? Is there anybody in here that just is willing to admit that you don't have it figured out? Like, thank you. Look, you don't have it figured out. We don't. But you know who does is the Lord. And when you surrender to him, he has his plan for your life. He has it figured out. Listen, something has to be different when you surrender. It's not you. Ooh, Galatians 2:20. Come on, go. For the life that I now live, someone hit me with it. Come on, real quick. Galatians 2:20. Let's go. Someone got it in here? It is. Say it again. I got to look it up. I feel like that's what the Lord's saying. I got to read it. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for everything you've done for us, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're moving right now. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's it. Thank you, Lord. I didn't have that scripture at all. That's what I'm trying to get. You died. The old you died. Behold, the old has passed away. The new has come. We're new creations. I'm not the same guy I was 6 years ago. Thank God. I wasn't a cool guy. You didn't want to be my friend. It was a hassle being my friend. But I'm brand new in Christ. And I'm not just brand new for myself. It's not like a self-help book. It's I carry the anointing of the Holy Spirit in me
wherever I go. And wherever I go, I represent Christ to people. But that's our job as Christians, as Christians. Christ-like in everything we do. We have to surrender to God. It's just surrender. And you may think it's weird, but I'm sorry, you are weird. I'm weird. We all have our stuff, man. You're not normal. Who would want to be normal? But if the Lord is telling you, hey, stop watching television, why is that such a big deal? Why do we hold on to these things so tightly, these earthly, fleshly things? There's going to be a time for every single one of us that we are going to stand before God and answer to him for what we did with our life. And he said, and what if he gets up there? What would you rather? Let me ask you. Hey, you literally spent 3 years of your life on Netflix. Good job. I hope it was nice. I mean, you're in heaven now, but I... Or is it when you get there, you say, well done, good and faithful servant. Because you surrendered. But the only way we're going to be able to do this is if you surrender. If you let something different be in your life, you give it to him. It's not as big of a deal as you might think. I used to love Aerosmith and Metallica. Love them. They're really good. But he spoke to me and said, hey, I don't want you to listen to this stuff. And I may not even 100% understand it today, but I know in my life, something else I don't do, I don't let a drop of alcohol touch my lips. My dad was a drunk. I give this to the Lord as something precious. That's like a really intimate part of me and the Lord saying, Lord, like, I see what you've delivered me from this long line of just sin. Just gross. It's just sin. Like things you wouldn't even think of. And it stops with me. It has stopped with me. I'm restarting the bloodline. Come on now. But why would I compromise because people think it might be weird that I don't even give a toast of champagne and take a sip? Why would I compromise what God has done in my life for what people might think about me? Or even what I think about for myself, because I don't think it's a sin for you to give a toast of champagne and let it touch your lips. The Bible says, don't be drunk. Be filled with the Spirit. But for me in my life, I have such a reverence for what God has done with me and my family. I can't do anything else but just say, Lord, keep taking it. But every time I say keep taking, he just keeps giving me more and more. We act like it's such a big deal to surrender these things, but he says, I'm going to give you beauty for ashes and joy for your mourning. You act like it's such a big deal. But in 70 years, when we all end up going to the Lord, how terrible would that be that we wasted time here on this earth? How terrible would that be? With things that don't matter. Just things that don't matter. 10 years from now, Justin, we're not going to think about our stats on Madden 19. We're just not. We're not going to think about the 10 touchdowns I threw in the last two games. I'm just not going to think about it 10 years from now. What? How terrible would it be if I let that stuff, if the Lord said, hey, stop doing that, and I said, no, I want to keep doing that. This is my thing. This is my time. I just have my thing. How terrible would it be if I said no to the Lord, I compromised and didn't hear his voice and surrender and listen? How terrible would that be? Not on you as a person, because you're amazing, but just, it's not how it's supposed to be. The thing that's different about Christians, what's supposed to be different about Christians, is our surrender to the Lord. That we don't have it figured out, that we do believe that when Jesus came, he knew what he was talking about. Oh, you're telling me Jesus is the only way to heaven? Yeah. Get it. Trust me. Best thing to ever happen to you. You're telling me that Jesus is the reason that you stop smoking weed? Yeah. And it's way better. Way better. I'm free. I'm really free.
I'm like really free, man. But it's just surrender. You know, it's not, don't doubt that you don't hear from the Lord. We're all meant to hear from the Lord. We're all meant for this. We're all meant for a relationship with the Father. So if you pray and ask him for something and then you feel like you hear a thought or something different comes in your head, coincidence, maybe, but definitely not. It's the Lord speaking to you. If you say, Lord, I want more of you. I want more of you. I want more of you. Okay, hey, set more prayer time aside. Oh, but I have so much to do, but the laundry will get done. You literally have a machine to wash your clothes. Most of us literally have a machine to wash the dishes. All of this stuff is going to get done. I understand we're busy. We work a lot as people. But if God says, hey, I need you to increase your prayer times with me. I need you to read more of the Bible. Why is it such a big deal for us to kind of put things aside for a little bit? Why is it a big deal? It's just surrender. It's the way that Christianity was supposed to be. There was no other way. He said, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and carry it. There's not much room for you to carry something when you have a cross on your back. Boom. All right? If you all want to stand to your feet. What I want to do is, I don't want to invite a prayer team up. If you feel like there's something in your life that you just need to surrender to God, I would ask you to come up to this altar and Jesus is going to meet you here. Jesus is going to do the work. It's going to be you and God. It's going to be nothing else. Just come up here as a declaration of, Jesus, I want to surrender this and I need your help. Nobody? Come on, guys. Lord Jesus, right now, I just pray that you would touch hearts in this place, Lord God. That you would help us to surrender to you, Jesus. That you would speak to us even right now in this moment, Lord God. Of things that we need to let go in our lives, Jesus. Lord God, I pray that you would make something different about us. Lord God, that we would lay it all down at your feet, Jesus. That we wouldn't be holding on to anything that you would want us to hold on to. There's things that are coming to our hearts and minds right now. And I believe that Jesus is here to change and transform, to strengthen us in our weakness of things that we need to let go for the betterment of ourselves because God knows what he's doing. There may be a sickness inside of your body. There may be something wrong inside of your body that you want to come and give to the Lord. Come and give it. Just come here and raise your hands to the Lord and say, it's yours, Lord. Whatever it may be, you can give anything to the Lord. I believe just right now in this moment that the Holy Spirit wants to move. And how terrible would it be for us to walk out carrying things that the Lord wanted to take from us right now in this moment? His Spirit is here. Jesus is here ready to take these things. And Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But that's what he wants to do right here now in this moment. God, we want to surrender to you, Jesus. We want to surrender. We want to let go of things that shouldn't be in our lives. We want something different about us, Jesus.